Well, of course, we're all taught in school, aren't we, that Mount Kosciuszko, or some of those with Polish background out there would probably say Mount Kosciuszko, is mainland Australia's highest mountain, 2,228 metres, easy number to remember, a little harder in feet, 7,310 above sea level. On international standards, I guess at 28 metres, it's more of a molehill than a mountain, but it wasn't climbed by a European until on this day in 1840. Now, you know, you've got to think about that. That's 52 years after European colonisation or settlement in Australia, and for such a significant national landmark, that does seem to me like quite an eternity. The history behind the climbing of the summit for the first time is a fascinating history, and although Mount Kosciuszko itself sits in New South Wales, the story of the climbing of the summit and the party that were behind it actually ties arguably more closely into the history of Melbourne than it does that of Sydney. I thought I'd talk to somebody who knows the story back the front. Michael Organ is an archivist and also an historian from the University of Wollongong, and he joins me on the line this morning. Michael, great to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
Good to talk to you, Michael.
Mount Kosciuszko. So it was on this day, 1840, a tour party decide that it's about time that a European get to the top. Now, of course, they had Indigenous help, and we'll look at that in a moment, but it really is the story of a Polish explorer by the name of Strzelecki, isn't it?
Yes, Paul Edmund Strzelecki. He arrived in Australia in 1839. He was looking for minerals, but when he didn't find that, he thought he'd extend his investigations into looking at the geology and geography of the east coast of Australia. And he met up with James MacArthur of Parramatta, who was looking to expand their pastoral holdings. They were looking towards going south towards Melbourne. And so MacArthur and Strzelecki combined and in undertaking an overland expedition to Melbourne.
Now, when you say MacArthur, that's a name that certainly for people in Sydney conjures up the famous MacArthur family from Camden Park. This is a different MacArthur, you're saying, from Parramatta.
Yes, James MacArthur, who was with Strzelecki, was the son of Henry MacArthur, who had the so-called vineyard property at Parramatta, and he was a big landowner, and he was looking, as I said, to expand his holdings into Victoria, into the area that we now know as the Gippsland district.
So south they go. Strzelecki, a Polish immigrant, James MacArthur from the land of gentry, and they're joined, aren't they, by an Indigenous guide, in fact, two Indigenous guides, Charlie, Tara and Jackie. And south they head, and ultimately they come across this very significant landmark, which would be known as Mount Kosciuszko.
Yes, well, Strzelecki was a scientist, and he liked to walk everywhere. During his time in Australia, he walked some 7,000 miles. And in his backpack, he had scientific instruments that could measure the height of various landforms. Now, in 1840, a lot of this in Australia had not been mapped by anyone. It was unknown land, unmapped. And so he thought, okay, I'll go to the high country and I'll see if I can find the highest point. And that's exactly what he did.
There's controversy about the highest point, part of the story. We'll get to that in a second. But of course, the other significant name in all of this, of course, is Kosciuszko, or for our Polish friends, they'd be much closer to pronouncing it Kosciuszko, but we'll let that one rest for a moment. Why did Strzelecki, a Pole himself, name what would be Australia's highest peak after a Polish general, Kosciuszko?
Well, Kosciuszko was a Polish patriot. He played a significant role in the American War of Independence and in the foundation of West Point Military Academy in the United States. So, Kosciuszko was also a military man. He served in the Prussian Army and was something of a diplomat. So, he was a Polish hero. Kosciuszko was a Polish hero, and that's what he thought of as he stood on the top of Mount Kosciuszko. Strzelecki thought this mound, it's more of a mound than a mountain, is similar to the Death Mount, the mound under which Kosciuszko was buried. And that's my understanding of the story of why he named it after Kosciuszko.
That mound now being in Krakow in Poland, of course. So they've done this. As I said, there's an element of controversy. Well, there was at the time, in fact, for many years, about who actually found the highest peak, and was there a mistake, because there was a situation with Victorian mapping and New South Wales mapping, wasn't there? And with the Victorian maps, it does seem that the official cartographic service swapped Mount Kosciuszko and the position of Mount Townsend. And for many years, people relying on the Victorian maps would scale this part of the high country, end up on the top of Mount Townsend and look across and say, well, that place over there looks a bit higher. But of course, the problem was that, in fact, over there was Kosciuszko. The maps had been labelled wrong.
Well, that's exactly right. The New South Wales maps were correct from the earlier days, and the Victorian maps weren't. And it wasn't until the 1940s when various cartographers and geographers looked into this in detail and realised, yes, Strzelecki had mapped Australia's highest peak, which is Mount Kosciuszko, and he also, actually, I think he left James McArthur standing on the top of Mount Townsend as he then went off to the higher peak.
Yeah, as I said, it's quite extraordinary, I think, in the scheme of early modern Australian history, that it took 52 years for a European to actually get to the top of this. And it's not as if they're having to climb Everest or K2 or, you know, the Eiger or the Matterhorn. You know, you don't need, even to this day, you don't need very sort of sophisticated climbing equipment to get to the top of Mount Kosciuszko.
No.
It's more a mound than some sort of, you know, glacial mountain. But nonetheless, you know, it does give a bit of an insight just to how closeted the early colonial years were around the early settlement positions, and not much beyond, doesn't it, in that it took 52 years for this obvious landmark to be surmounted.
Well, that's right. You've got to remember that Sydney started as a penal colony. It didn't have walls, but it was basically a prison, and there wasn't a lot of openness from the very beginning. The other thing is that a lot of the British and other people who came to Australia in those early days, they weren't really used to the conditions. And even Strzelecki's party, Strzelecki was a big, strong, athletic man, but after they left Mount Kosciuszko, they nearly didn't make it for Melbourne because they ran out of water. It was March, it was 90 degrees, it was very, very hot, there had been droughts, and it was only because of the local Aboriginal people and their guides, Charlie Tara and Jackie, where they were able to capture and eat koala and wombat, etc., that they survived. So a lot of this exploration was very delayed, as you say, 50 years before they got to Kosciuszko and that Gippsland area.
Now, as I said at the beginning, this is a story that obviously began in Sydney but ends in Melbourne. And later this month, I think on between the 27th to the 29th of March, Ormeo in East Gippsland is going to hold a whole weekend of multicultural celebration and recognition in the Soldiers Memorial Hall. And, of course, a lot of it is to do or to coincide with the 180th anniversary of the naming of Mount Kosciuszko. You're going to be down there for that event as well, aren't you?
Yes, I'm going to just talk and present about generally who Strzelecki was and some of the things he did, but not just about what he did in Australia, but also some of the work he did after he left Australia and returned to England in 1843.
Some of that was in Ireland, wasn't it?
Well, he became quite famous because he was almost made the commissioner on behalf of the British Parliament for the famine region in Ireland in 1845-47. There was a major famine. There was over 750,000 people affected, and it was said that he helped save the lives of some 200,000 children by his efforts in dispersing funds that had been gathered. More than £1 million had been gathered in London to help support the famine. And I think it's quite interesting that he was able to really disperse those funds in a quick and efficient way, which is something we in Australia are dealing with at the moment in regards to fire funds. But that's another issue. But yes, he was knighted by Queen Victoria, and yes, he was very much honoured as an important Polish person, but for his work with the Polish, with the Irish family.
Extraordinary man and an extraordinary life story. I mean, we Australians, because of what he did here, should know more about him, I think, than we do. The exhibition arrived in Melbourne on the 19th of May in 1840, so, you know, roughly 2 months after they'd reached the summit of what they then called Mount Kosciuszko. And on the way, of course, that southeast region of Australia between the Alps and Melbourne, they named Gippsland. Do we know why?
Was a very, he was almost like a diplomat. Someone said he was a Russian spy. He moved around in high circles. When he arrived in Australia, he was welcomed by the governor, Governor Gipps, and later on he stayed in Tasmania with the John Franklin and Lady Franklin, the governor and governess down there. So when he travelled through after leaving Mount Kosciuszko, he thought that this land hadn't been named or hadn't really been discovered by or outlined by Europeans, and so he applied the name Gippsland. Unfortunately, there was a bit of subsequent controversy that people said, oh, well, Slovakia has discovered this land where there had already been European settlers there just a couple of years before him, basically.
Oh, well, he had the last laugh because the name stuck. Look, it's a great bit of Australian history. And as I said, you know, all school children learn that Mount Kosciuszko is the highest mountain. You learn almost rote learn 2228 metres and this sort of thing. But the story behind the naming of it and then the sub-narratives therein are very seldom taught, I think, these days. But it's a pity because it's a great story. There's much more to it. We're out of time, though, this morning, Michael. But I thank you very much for your time and for your insight.
Thanks a lot, Michael. It's great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Michael Organ there, as I said, an archivist and historian from the University of Wollongong. And as I said, also, Michael's attending the Strzelecki Festival in Ormeau in Victoria at the end of the month. That'll be terrific.